Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now to start things off on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And the line on the line right now, radio.com sports MLB insider Joe Girardi. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Joe, thanks a million for joining us today. We're really excited to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good, but man, your Yankees did not help out the Indians at all. If they're still your Yankees, if you still want them to be your Yankees, but
yeah,
I'm so bummed.
It was two really good games, but you're right. They didn't help them at all. And I think if I'm an Indians fan, obviously I'm cheering for Toronto, and I'm cheering for whoever is playing the Brewers, and that might be the Reds today, because if Washington can separate themselves a little bit from the Brewers, maybe you don't see Scherzer on Sunday. Maybe you don't see Soto and Rendon in the lineup every day, and you get a Washington National team that's not quite what they are when everyone's playing.
Yeah, I was thinking about sending them a little extra champagne so they could have fun this weekend. So just relax,
right,
don't worry
right.
about
That's
it.
Not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. So, but Joe, I will give the Indians a ton of credit, and what Terry Francona has done with this team, with the injuries, not having two studs in the rotation for most of the year, having a Ramirez who has missed time and was not the same player he had been the first 2.5 months. Didn't have Lindor for a while. I mean, it's truly amazing. The Indians are where they are to me. And he's done it with a bullpen that he's had to mix and match and be really, really good at it. And that's what Terry's done.
I was just going to ask you about that, Joe. Has it surprised you that they've been able to, well, here we are, four games left, and they still have a shot at it?
Yeah, I am surprised. I mean, obviously, there's been some young pitchers that have stepped up. You know, Clevinger has been brilliant. Bieber's been really great. Was not last night. But I think about Clevinger, and he was out 2 months as well. So, I mean, if someone would have told you that you wouldn't have Bauer for 2 months, you wouldn't have Clevinger for 2 months, you wouldn't have Carrasco for 5 months, and you wouldn't have Kluber for really basically the whole year, but you'd be a game out on the loss side 4 days to go, you'd say, what? Are you kidding me? Without any of our rotation? And they've done it, and that's been extremely impressive.
Joe, when I look at it, the funny part about this is I think there was a lot of gloom and doom for the Indians in the future, thinking that they can't hang on to Francisco Lindor. But I think one of the things the injuries has caused Indians fans to look at is that the future does seem bright with this pitching staff and guys like Oscar Mercado and then going out and getting Franmil Reyes. Just tell me what you think of the Indians, no matter what happens this week, how they kind of project into the future, and I think it's brighter than Indians fans thought it was going to be.
Oh, I definitely agree. I look at some of these young kids in the rotation, and they've grown up. Whether it's been a Zach Plesac or Savali who's thrown tonight. I mean, these kids have grown up right in front of your own eyes. So if you have pitching, you always have a chance. And the Indians continue to have starting pitching, and I think they'll continue to have a chance. Yeah, could you lose Lindor? Yeah, but, I mean, think about it. If you put Ramirez and Lindor's year together, it's about 1.25 of what you got of the two in the last 2 or 3 years together, if you understand what I'm saying. Because Ramirez wasn't there the first 3 months. I mean, he was a pedestrian-type player. Lindor wasn't there the first month because of an injury. So you're missing 4 months of two of your best players, and they still have managed to win 90-plus games. So I've been extremely impressed, and I think they'll continue to win.
Joe, guys in Cleveland who love baseball have just looked at the Indians sometimes as a farm system for guys like the Yankees. And unfortunately, we've been sitting here in town thinking, okay, how much longer will Lindor be with the Indians until he goes to the Yankees? And you were on that side, knowing that you guys can go sign the big-name players and bring them in and spend those dollars, and you have them, and they're available. and that players will want to play for the Yankees. If you're a team like the Indians, what do you do? How do you compete? How do you keep your guys other than just write a big check that maybe your franchise can't afford?
Well, I think at times you have to make trades that are really beneficial for your club, and you have to trade a guy when his ceiling is pretty high, in a sense. But, I mean, I don't remember the Yankees signing a lot of Indians. I don't, you know. And they've been able to hold on to their players fairly well. I mean, you think about that rotation. They were able to hold on to it fairly well. So the key for the Indians, to me, is developing young players. So when they need to keep a veteran, they can afford to do it. So you have three or four guys, two guys in your rotation that aren't making any money. You have three guys in your, you know, on the offensive side of the ball that aren't making a ton of money. Then you can re-sign guys, and that's the key. And they've been pretty good at developing players, and as long as they continue to do that, I think they're going to be really good.
Radio.com's Joe Girardi joining us. Obviously, remember him from being a manager and a player. You know, Terry Francona was talking about the wild card, I think it was the end of last week, and just saying, you know, I kind of like the model where when it comes to the wild card, maybe you play a day-night doubleheader on one day, and then if you needed a third game the next day. What do you think of the one-game wild card, and do you think that would be a viable option down the road, a day-night doubleheader and maybe another game, so you can play a best of three?
Yeah, I really dislike it. I think teams work too hard. I mean, you have teams that are in the wild card that won 95 games, and there are years that that's good enough to win a division, and you might have a wild card team that wins more than a team winning their division. So I really believe it should be the best of three. I kind of like Terry's idea. My idea has always been the wild card teams play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or they play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, depending on when the ALCS or the NLCS starts. And they don't get a day off, right? So the penalty for being a wild card team is you might play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before you get a day off. So you got to form your roster a little bit different than a team that only has to take four starters, but that sort of thing. Because I don't want to give the division winners too much time off. I don't think that's fair to them. So the penalty for not winning your division is you might have to play 5 days in a row. Teams do that all the time, right? They do that all the time. And maybe have a split doubleheader the last day of the season, or have the season end on a Saturday instead of a Sunday, you know, and then each playoff team has Sunday off, and then you go from there.
Joe, that's a great
idea.
I would
love to see him change it.
It was weird. The Indians had a Friday off this year because of scheduling. It's just kind of goofy, wasn't it? That was just weird.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, home runs, record pace, strikeouts, record pace. Is that good for the game? And as a manager, do you like it?
I don't necessarily think it's good for the game because we've talked about the lack of, you know, they call it the pace of play. It's really the pace of action. There's a real lack of pace of action in our game. Guys putting the ball in play, stealing bases, that sort of thing. I mean, it's like every 3 minutes and 30 seconds a ball is put into play, and you can do a lot as an individual in 3 minutes and 30 seconds and get really distracted. So I don't think it's good. I would like to see him get back to deadening the ball a little bit and guys having to learn to put the ball in play and not strike out so much and not score runs that way. Yeah, has it added to our game? Yeah. But I also think it's really hurt our game, and I would like to see it change a little bit.
Amen. I agree with you completely.
Joe, let me fire this one at you. And this is just a personal question, just because I've seen all these Indians managers go through it. Terry Francona from ESPN to the Indians, Manny Acta, ESPN, Eric Wedge, Major League Baseball Network. How's life for you, and how difficult is it to go from everyday manager where you're going through the grind to suddenly doing TV or doing stuff for radio.com? That's got to be a shock to the system, huh?
Yes, absolutely. It's a shock because you're used to going, and the biggest shock probably comes about February 15th when you don't go to spring training. You're like, oh, now what I do? Because you don't necessarily do a lot of work from, you know, November 1st till February 15th. If you're a manager, in a sense, you're not going into the office every day. You're not doing that. But then when February 15th rolls around and you don't go to the office every day or go to spring training, it's difficult. It's definitely an adjustment. Yeah, it's great spending all the time with my wife and my kids and getting to watch them grow up and throwing BP to my son every day and rebounding basketballs for my daughter every day. And my oldest daughter, I study with her. But they want me to go back to managing. So that tells me that maybe I'm not as good at home as they think, you know, that I think I
am. That's funny. Who do you like coming out of the American League, Joe?
It's between, for me, Houston and the Yankees. And I think a lot of it hinges on Severino, how he pitches. Severino and Paxton, how they pitch. You look at Houston, and a lot of people would call him the most complete club. Greinke has been good, but he has not been great. And Miley can't get out of the first inning. So where do they go for a fourth starter? You know, all of a sudden we thought it was a, you know, they were a lock. You know, once they got Greinke and Miley was rolling, and you know, I wouldn't want to face Gerrit Cole this time of year. I just wouldn't want to do it. But I give a little edge. I don't even know where I give a little edge, because one day I give it to the Yankees, and then I watch what they do against Charlie Morton last night, and it's a concern for me. But, I mean, that offense is extremely explosive, and their bullpen is similar to me to what Houston starters are. And if Paxton and Severino pitch well, I would give them the edge.
All right, Joe, before we let you go, if you weren't a baseball man, I was just looking through your bio again. You were talking about playing hoops with your daughter. Would you, if you wouldn't have played baseball, would you have played football or would you have played basketball?
Oh, football. I was a terrible basketball player.
Oh, were you? Okay.
No touch. I could play defense and rebound and foul. I mean, I was really good at that. So, could not shoot, shot bricks. Football was my first love.
And what made you go baseball? I mean, were you just that much better at baseball than you were at football, or?
How many 5'11 quarterbacks do you see have really much of a future?
Have you watched the Browns lately?
Yeah. You know, Drew Brees is one, but I think Drew Brees is probably taller than 5'11. Maybe not. But it's just, you know, that it just wasn't my best sport, even though it was the sport I loved the most.
Outstanding. Hey, Joe, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back on, and we love your insight, and it's been an honor to talk to you today. Thank you, Joe.
Well, good luck to your Indians, and it'll be fun watching the next few days.
Thank you. Joe Girardi, nice enough to join us today. Brought to us by Radio.com, of course, where he is a MLB insider, Joe Girardi. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And again, we want to thank you for joining us.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.